This Fab FM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Now then, our regular feature on a Wednesday, hump day, over the hump, heading to the weekend. That's a lovely feeling. But what will you be eating? What sort of what takes your fancy food-wise at the weekends, you know, on a Saturday? Maybe you go out for food, for a meal, a little bit of fast food, all that sort of stuff. Is it doing you any good, I suppose, is the question. Let's have a chat with our medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi. She has been a GP in the region, in the Douglas Shire, for 13 years, particularly in Mossman, of course. Welcome again. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Gary. Hello.
Now then, foods. You know, everyone's ears sort of prick up a little bit and eyes light up when we talk about food. We all love food at the end of the day. But question is it doing you any good? And I've got to say, and I'll start it with this comment. I was having a read through a bit of a glossy thing that came through the letterbox, I think, may have been in one of the local papers. And I thought, I wonder if a lot of this is actually doing me any good. I'm sure it is to a certain extent, but let's address that particular thing. We want to talk about food labels as well, and can we believe what we read, and what should we be reading, what should we be looking for. Let's start perhaps a little bit back to front, Dr. Alex. We won't talk about the processed food straight away. What should we eat?
Gary, it's a simple sounding question, and I try to put it in very simple words. Basically, what we should eat is whole food. It should be fresh, and it is important that we have a variety of different whole foods. Then another requirement is that it should be grown in healthy soil, so soil that has a lot of nutrients, which is why we eat these whole foods. And optimal, it should be grown without pesticides and without chemicals, so that we are not taking in more dangerous things that we need to get rid of than the good things in the food.
So a few requirements there, and one or two particular things that you picked up there. Pesticides was one, and I start to think, does that, you know, in reality, is that likely to happen? Because farmers around the world, and of course we're not just reliant on Australian foods, we have foods from all over the place, really. Can we guarantee that pesticides aren't used? And probably not, I guess, is the answer.
You're right, Gary. So currently, I think that we still have a big proportion of food that is raised with pesticides and chemicals. However, there is also a big movement in accordance with, you know, more and more scientific research into these problems. So a big movement of consumers, but also farmers who are trying to make a big difference, to change their practices, and to start looking at the evidence and using less and less chemicals, going back to more, I don't want to really say traditional practices, but using less of our man-made products, let's put it that way.
And of course it has the added effect in a positive way if we can use less, and it's a topic that we've probably touched on and will do more so in future discussions, that the pesticides also have a local effect, of course, in the areas where products are grown, in the waterways and beyond, no doubt. Let's talk about processed food. We've got an idea. I think we've all roughly, most people in the back of their minds roughly know what they probably should be eating. We were told as perhaps things have changed, but as kids, you know, plenty of vegetables, fresh fruit, all that sort of stuff. But processed food, as I would see it, much more common, much more readily available, much more pushed down our throats, not literally, but in terms of advertising. But what is so bad about processed food?
Let me just, before I answer that, say that Australian children consume these days 40% of their energy from highly processed foods. So that's nearly half of the calorie or kilojoule intake of children, which comes from highly processed foods. And also nearly two-thirds of Australian adults are overweight and obese, and already one quarter of children are overweight or obese. The obvious problem with processed food, there are actually a couple of different ones. Firstly, it is that the obvious ingredients in most of these processed foods are the wrong kinds of ingredients. They are sugar, salt, unhealthy fats, and a lot of food additives. I don't think that I need to explain that further, that's not what our bodies can live on. Half of all processed food that you find in the supermarkets is considered to be junk food or discretionary food. And that means that they have a lot of empty calories. So you are eating something which gives you calories or kilojoule, but from a nutritional point of view, there are no nutrients, no vitamins, no minerals in there. So what we are seeing are people who are obese, but in the medical sense, they are actually malnourished because they pile on the fat without giving their cells enough minerals and vitamins to function properly.
So the boost of energy that you might get from eating is more or less like a sort of a fake energy. You're getting a surge, but it's in the long run not really benefiting your body, you know, those nutrients that we need on a daily basis.
Yes, yep, that's right.
It's quite scary, actually, isn't it, I think. We'll talk about labelling in a moment, but I just find it quite scary that we're living in a society, and globally, generally, where this is happening. I mean, from a doctor's point of view, it certainly, and I know differing opinions with doctors, but from your point of view, it must be a concern. And this is Australia. I've no doubt probably the States is worse, I'm guessing, could be wrong. But it's a big worry, isn't it?
It's not only a worry, it is absolutely frustrating to see that, especially because it is so easy to get away from processed food, especially up here in our region where we have a lot of choices. And it is so much easier, if you think about it, to just go and buy food that you can identify as food and prepare that in simple ways and eat it, than, you know, choosing between all these different packages and funny looking products.
Do you think that parents and adults generally have to take a bit of responsibility and say, hey, you know, we're going to sit down, again, another topic for another day, having a proper Sunday meal and chatting, getting away from the screens and the iPhones, etc., etc. But saying, right, you know, we're going to discipline ourselves and the kids to eat properly. There's got to be a bit of responsibility too on individuals as well as the manufacturers and shops.
I think responsibility is a really good word for that, not only for food, but for our whole, you know, everything that is affecting our health. We need to learn to take a bit more responsibility for what we are doing and for our choices.
Now, let's talk about labelling. Five-star labels is a term that you hear about and you read about on products. I mean, if you pick something that has five stars, does that mean you're going to get a healthier... You know, let's take the scenario, I go into a shop, see something with five stars, I don't have to worry. I know I'm eating good stuff. I'm on a winner here. I can ignore all the concerns. Off I go. Is that true, or should I still be worried?
Yeah, you should still be very worried if you think that.
How did I know you were
going
to say that? Carry on, Doctor.
So there is quite a little bit to say about this five-star rating system. I think the intention of that system was absolutely a good way of going forwards, of trying to help consumers to make a better choice. When you then look at the fine details of the five-star system, then you become a little bit more skeptical. So firstly, the five-star food rating system has been developed within a group between different stakeholders. So the government, consumer organizations, but also the industry. So it is pretty clear it must be a compromise you know, from the beginning on. It is a voluntary labeling system, so not as a company, you don't need to use it. But furthermore, you can actually also choose to use it on some of your products and not on others. So that means that as a company, you could choose just to use it on the ones where you know you get quite a lot of stars, and that sort of like benefits the whole name of the company then, I guess. I'm not saying that everybody's doing that, but it gives them that, you know, that window of opportunity. But the biggest thing with a five-star labeling is that it's actually a rating system only for processed food. So that means that it does not take into account that an orange is still a lot more healthy to eat as a whole fruit compared to the best orange juice that you can buy. And I think it is just very human, if you see five stars on a product, that you forget about what you have heard about the system before, but you automatically think this has five stars, this must be good. So the five-star label system really just helps you to pick the best of a bad bunch. If you have a lolly with five stars on it, it is still a lolly. And that is what that system is not really reflecting. Another problem, and I think that is, there are two other problems, and they are both under review in the moment. The first problem is that the system does not differentiate between natural sugars and added sugars. From a nutritional perspective, we know that the added sugars are the ones that have a lot more worse health implications. And a very, very tricky point, and I need to explain that a little bit, is the as prepared directive. So I give you an example. If you go and buy a very famous Australian chocolate drink powder, which I'm not going to mention now, you will see it has a very high star rating. I think it has 4 or 4.5 stars. And then if you look at the ingredients list, you read that it has nearly 50% of it sugar. And you wonder, well, how does that come? And the reason is that the stars are given for the end product. So if you prepare that chocolate drink powder in the way what is recommended on the box, which is a small amount of it in a large glass of skim milk, then it would have these 4 or 4.5 stars. But that's not the reality. And it doesn't mean that it is advisable to have it.
So something that's pretty much voluntary, there's no real key reference points, is you're not referring to a particular set thing. And it would appear that different food items have different sort of standards. So something that could be 5-star within that group of things is seen as healthy when it actually isn't. So not to rely on the labels would be probably good advice. In terms of the nutritional information, one of the things I struggle with in most packages is actually reading, because the lettering's so small. And I think, again, it might just be convenience that a lot of people think, oh, just won't bother. It's, you know, can't be that bad. Is it important to read the nutrition, the kilojoules, the proteins, the sugars, the fats that you read about on packages?
I think it would be really good if everybody would just learn some basic information about nutrition, because there is not that much to learn. We have two different sets of information on each product, on each processed food. One is the ingredients list and one is the nutrition information. Now, the nutrition information is very limited. It just tells you the amount of the energy that you get from this product. And then it splits it up in the percentage of protein, of sugar, of fat, and it also needs to include the sodium content. So that is pretty much the basics that you need to know about nutrition. The second list is the ingredients list. And very often you will find a lot of words on this ingredients list that you can't pronounce, or it is just a number. And as a rule of thumb, if you don't know what that ingredient is, if you don't know what this E number stands for, you should not buy it, because we would not eat anything normally where we don't know what it is. And another trick how to read ingredients list is that the ingredients of which the product consists mainly is listed on the first in the first order, and then on the second order is the ingredients that, you know, comes how do I explain that now, which is the second most abundant in this product. So if you buy tomato sauce and you find tomatoes on the first spot and then followed by sugar, you know that there is a lot of sugar in this product. Mm,
the higher priority further up the list, yeah, in terms of what content it has. I mean, you've just summed it up there really well in terms of it's a very difficult, very complex topic. Even the labelling is very complex, and I'm sure that's sort of found to be quite convenient, because a lot of people think, hey, I'm just going to gloss over that and eat it, basically. One final topic, if I may, Dr. Alex, our medicine lady. Very briefly, the tick from the Heart Foundation. Now, I know from what I've heard that certain large food outlets have had the tick. I think it may have been taken off them, and probably rightly so. But again, a little bit of lots of grey areas, because they might sell salads and fruit, but they might sell other products, and they're sort of perhaps, again, maybe you can explain, being combined all under one banner, getting the tick from the Heart Foundation, which I dare I use the term BS, but I mean, it does seem bordering on that at times.
Yes, you're right. I think the Heart Foundation tick has been retired or is retiring, and to my understanding, that then resulted into the five-star system. But you are right. I remember that the Heart Tick Foundation has had similar problems, that it compared processed food within the same range of unhealthy processed food. So it has had the same problem comparing or trying to identify the best of a bad bunch.
Very complex, and I think, as we said on a couple of occasions, maybe some of the producers of what we've talked about like that complexity, because a lot of people just switch off, glaze over and go and have it anyway. Thank you for that. I guess bottom line is, make sure you do get your vegetables, as you hinted at the beginning, get your fresh fruit, get your unprocessed food. Moderation, again, with your processed food, I guess, is the sensible answer. Thank you very much.
Very welcome.
We'll catch up with you again next week. That's our resident medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi. We'll talk about a think tank that she's organising in Mossman this weekend, it is actually, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show.